Well, good day. Greetings from southeast Queensland. We have four churches there, and our pastor is Mr. Bill Bradford. I think he'd like to pass his regards on to those. I think he knows quite a few from this area. And we're having a very wonderful time. My wife's from British Columbia up north, and we're having a nice time with family here at this feast. So it's been very nice to get to know a lot of you as well. But what comes to your mind when you think of the word priest? I don't know what comes into your mind, but I know what comes into mine, and it's not very exciting. When I think of priests, I think of altars and sacrifices and blood, of strange garments and smoke and incense and lots of rituals. In Old Testament times, every culture, it seemed, had their priests. They had the priests of Dagon, priests of Baal, Ishtar, Temoz, and they did some very strange and some very not very nice things. In modern day religions, they still are priests. We still have priests in the world today who still dress in strange garments, and they have religious services in big churches with altar and smoke and incense, and probably a little bit like they used to in the old days. But even when we look at the priests of the true God in the Bible, they also did things that we would have great difficulty relating to. They were involved with sacrifices, with all the blood and the killing of animals. They dressed in special garments, and they followed lots of rituals. To the modern mind, I think this sort of thing would probably be about as opposite as you could get to something that would attract us. It just sounds all too weird. So, I don't know about you, but if you asked me whether I'd like to be a priest, my immediate reaction would be, no, thank you. So what are we going to do in the millennium? We've already heard about it this earlier in the feast. Well, the Bible gives us a job title in Revelation 26, which we already covered earlier. Revelation 26, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, I think we can all appreciate that having the chance to be a priest of God and of Christ must be a very great honor indeed. After all, it's not a role offered to everyone. It's a role that's only offered to those who partake of the first resurrection. But priest, some might say, are you sure? Young people, how does that sound to you, being a priest? Maybe you're thinking, well, can I do something else? I want to be a teacher. I want to be a manager. I want to be a musician or a lawyer. Please, not a priest. Well, unfortunately, words lose their true meaning over time and take on new meanings, nothing like the original. And this is particularly true of the religious word priest. The role of priest has been abused by cultures from the beginning of time, but God has given us an original pattern that we can learn from. The book of Hebrews tells us that when the formal priesthood of the Levites was established a long time ago, that the whole system was set up as a type of things to come. The Levitical priesthood was only ever meant to be temporary, but it was representative of the real eternal priesthood of Jesus Christ and of Melchizedek. Priesthood of Melchizedek. We look at that in Hebrews 8. Verse 1, Hebrews 8, 1. Now this is the main point of the things which we are saying, Paul writes. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed for when he was about to make the tabernacle. For, as he said, see, you make things all things according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. The temple and the Levitical priesthood were a shadow of permanent, eternal, heavenly things. Moses was told to be very careful, in fact, to follow exactly the instructions he was given to set up not just the tabernacle, but the whole hierarchy of the priesthood. And these things were there to teach us of God's great plan for mankind. The sacrifices, the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, even the ornaments. Every ornament had a particular significant meaning. And many people discard all this old things. Ah, that's the Old Testament. That's got no relevance to us today. In actual fact, they're all there for our teaching and our learning. Now, the high priest of Israel, we all clearly know, was a type of the future eternal high priest, Jesus Christ, very clearly defined in Scripture. But what we don't often stop to consider is the parallel with the rest of the Levites, the priestly Levites who supported the high priest in a major way. Who are they a type of? Who will be the fulfillment of their role? Well, it's us, the elect, the chosen ones, the firstborn of God. The Levitical priesthood are a type of us. And understanding the type of the Levitical priesthood reinforces our role and our place in the kingdom of God. And I want to look at this today. It's very interesting. If you look at Numbers 3, what God said when he established and advised Moses in relation to the Levitical priesthood. Numbers 3, verse 6. He says, "Bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may serve him. And they shall attend to his needs and the needs of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of meeting to do the work of the tabernacle. Also they shall attend to all the furnishings of the tabernacle of meeting and to the needs of the children of Israel to do the work of the tabernacle. And you shall give the Levites to Aaron and his sons. They are given entirely to him from among the children of Israel. So you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall attend to their priesthood, but the outsider who comes near shall be put to death." It was a very special role. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Now behold, I myself have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. On the day I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel, both men and beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord." God is clearly saying that the Levites would take the place of the firstborn of the whole nation. God regarded them as very special, representative of the firstborn of his family. Now, I should mention that the Bible often speaks of priests and Levites as if the two offices were practically exactly the same. Technically, the formal priesthood was for the lineage of Aaron only. But in general terms, and we can see that, all the Levites performed priestly duties, as we just read, and provided a supporting role to the high priest. Levites took care of the tabernacle and the temple in the future and performed many duties, including preparing the sacrifices. They had a very, very special status in Israel. But think about the parallel to us. The New Testament calls us the firstborn of God, the firstfruits of the kingdom. We belong to that church of the firstborn registered in heaven. Being a firstfruit is indeed a very special calling, just like it was a very special selection of the Levites to represent the firstborn. So knowing that the Levitical priesthood was a shadow of the first future role of the firstfruits in God's kingdom, let's take the time today to just see what they actually did. Because that's where the rubber hits the road, doesn't it? Let's actually have a look at what they actually did. It might actually give us a better idea of what the future holds for us. And maybe in doing so, we can get rid of some of those negative stereotypes which come to mind when you think of that word priest. Well, the first and obvious role of a priest was that of service to God in the tabernacle and later the temple. In Numbers 18, we read about that. Numbers 18, verse 6. "Behold, I myself have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. They are a gift to you, given by the Lord, to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Therefore, you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood for everything at the altar and behind the veil, and you shall serve. I give you the priesthood to you as a gift for service." A gift for service. It's an interesting comment. And it wasn't just any old service. It was a service to both God and a service to the people, to help them bring the people closer to God. A gift for service. When serving in the temple, priests were an interface between God and man, because the average Israelite was not allowed into the inner court of the tabernacle. They had to interface with the priests. It was the priest's role to liaise with the high priest and make sure that everything was done in decently and in order, to maintain the tabernacle, to ensure that everyone came into the outer court was respectful, to manage the sacrifices. And we should note that while sacrifices of animals seem so foreign to us today, back in those times it wasn't that extraordinary. Every family killed the fatted calf at times. I know in BC, when I go to my family, my brother-in-law, just last week, he killed a moose. And he opened it up, and it was an exciting time for the family to get their moose once a year for their... That's what they eat up in northern BC, I found. And I would imagine, though, that the manual service work in the temple itself would have helped keep things in perspective by the Levites and the priests. Now, you might think that the priests spent all their time in the temple. That's the impression we get at first glance, but that was not the case at all. Heavy work service roles were only for those between 30 and 50 years of age. And also, it was a rostered position. We can read about the rosters in Chronicles. Most of the times, the priests were out there in the community serving the people and doing many other aspects of the role of a priest, which we'll look at this morning. And that's where they lived. They lived out there in the community in 48 special cities scattered throughout the nation, representing the people in their particular area. And think about the parallel to our future role as priests in God's kingdom. Working in the most exciting place in the universe, Jerusalem, interfacing face to face with the true high priest, Jesus Christ, asking advice, learning, discussing plans for your community, and then traveling back out to live among the people in the city specially designated. It's an exciting prospect. Well, in addition to their service role in the temple, the priests served as judges in the community and acted as a kind of a supreme court for Israel. We can look at that in Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17, verse 8. If a matter arises which is too hard for you to judge, between degrees of blood guiltness, between one judgment or another, or between one punishment or another, matters of controversy with your gates, then you shall arise and go up to the place which the Lord your God chooses, and then you shall come to the priests, the Levites, and to the judge there in those days, and inquire of them, and they shall pronounce on you a sentence of judgment. And you shall do according to the sentence which they pronounce on you in that place which the Lord chooses, and you shall be careful to do according to all they order you, according to the sentence of law in which they instruct you, according to the judgment which they tell you, you shall do. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left from the sentence which they pronounce upon you. Now the man who acts presumptuously and will not heed the priest who stands to minister there before the Lord your God or the judge, that man shall die. So you shall put away the evil person from Israel, and all people shall hear and fear and no longer act presumptuously. You know, the priest's word was final on most matters. Final. They acted in the place of God. That's quite a position of prominence given to the priests. The priests were also required to determine the punishment for murder and other civil matters. If you turn over a couple of pages, Deuteronomy 21, verse 1. If anyone is found slain lying in the field of the land which your Lord your God has given to you to possess and is not known who killed him, verse 5, then the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister to him and to bless the name of the Lord. And by their word, every controversy and every assault shall be settled. That's a lot of responsibility given to the priests. This is all incredibly relevant to our future. As Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you so unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? This should really well and truly highlight the importance of studying and knowing God's law and the mind of God. We are all called to be judges. And what an honor to be such a position as a priest and a judge in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God. So those of you interested in law and the judicial system, well, it's part of the future role of a priest. In addition to being judges, the Levitical priests were also the teachers of Israel. They taught God's commandments and statutes and judgments. They taught the history of the nation. They taught the people the concept of sin, forgiveness, and worship. They were the counselors and advisors to the community. Malachi 2:7. And there's many places. It's a great study if you want to continue and look at this sometime yourself. Malachi 2:7 says, "For the lips of the priest should keep knowledge, and the people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts." The priest was an indispensable source of knowledge for the people and the channel through which the understanding of God was communicated. They not only taught the law, they also taught people how to live. If you notice when we looked at Deuteronomy 17 a little while ago, when you came in for a judgment from the priest, it says not only would give you a judgment, he would teach you how to understand the law. They taught between people to distinguish between the holy and the unholy. Would you like to be a teacher or a counselor? Well, your future role of priest will be even more rewarding than any similar role you could have in this life. In addition to their many duties, the priests also played a major leadership role in the society. As teachers and judges, they were obviously greatly looked up to. But their job was just much more than some sort of cushy administrative position. It was a frontline, action-oriented role. Look over Deuteronomy 20. In fact, I think we're still there. Here's another aspect of the role of priests you may not have considered. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. "When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. And so it shall be when you're on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and he shall say to them, 'Hear, O Israel, today you're on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid and do not be trembled or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save them.'" The job of a priest was to be an inspiring leader in time of war. Right in the thick of things, he went into just before the battle. There he was standing there with the troops. And their encouraging words would have made a huge difference, I would imagine, on the eve of battle. You know, we don't think in terms of priests being involved in times of war, but it is remarkable to realize that it was God's desire for the priest to be right there in the middle of the battle, inspiring the nation and leading by example. Right from the start, God said the priests were there to blow the trumpets in the middle of battle. They were given the silver trumpets, a very honored position. Standard bearers, right there in the middle of the thick of things. You can read about that in Numbers 10. So they must have been very brave men. Priests, if you remember, led the people across the Jordan into the Promised Land. They weren't down the back. They were right up the very front. They led the army around Jericho. You may remember when Jehoshaphat prayed, enormous army had come against Judah at the time. He sent the priests out first ahead of the army. You know, when you read about what was involved in being a priest, you can see it's quite different than we otherwise might think. It was a get involved, lead by example position that built the respect of the people. Those priests of old were tough men not to be reckoned with. You might remember when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and found the people with the golden calf. He had the Levites strap on their sword and he said, "You go out and sort it out." And I would imagine those men who were working with animals and used to frontline positions of battle, they would have struck fear into those people who had done wrong. A good example was that priest Phinehas. And that, I tell you, Phinehas was not a man to be messed with. And neither were the priests in the days of King Joash, if you remember. The high priest said, surround the king. And the Levites were armed with their sword, ready to defend him in the temple. Some of the Levites were gatekeepers, we're told, a very important position. It's a term we don't particularly talk about much today, but these were men who were zealous defenders of the temple and of the Lord. I think it's just well worth reviewing these roles of the priest so we can understand that being a calling to the priesthood is a call to an executive action role. And that's what we will be required to do in the kingdom of God, to lead by example, get out there in the midst of people's problems, motivate people, and get them sorted. And I think we just be clear on what we're saying here. Our future calling to be the priest is not just some analogy. It actually is the fulfillment of the type of what we're seeing here. It's actually very tangibly real. Now, you might say, well, having to do all of that would be an incredible job description. But wait, there's a lot more even for a priest. A lot more. Priests also played the role of doctors and health inspectors for their communities. Some of their work was ceremonial, but a lot of it was very practical. They practiced quarantining, which is a relative modern thing in our world. They inspected buildings that had potential health problems. They did the circumcision operations and no doubt other operations when people had problems. If a person had obvious sores or diseases, they came to the priest for diagnosis. And Jesus supported that role, if you remember, the priest, a couple of occasions. He told the lepers, he said, go to the priest, get yourself the all clear, go and get checked out. Do you think this might be something that would interest some of you one day? Something that you might align with? Helping with the healing of the nations. Helping to heal both physically, mentally, and spiritually the people under our charge. Wow. Another important role the priest played was that in the field of finances. It was the role of the priest to manage and disperse the usage of people's donations and offerings. You can read about that in 2 Chronicles 31 and Nehemiah 13. Priest also oversaw the management and accounting of finances for various projects. It was the priest who looked after and accounted for the national treasures of the country. When David was collecting, if you remember, the fabulous treasures, incredible treasures, the incredible amounts of money and gold needed for the temple, who was entrusted with the funds? The priest. Solomon used them to manage his treasury, so did Hezekiah, so did Josiah. Whenever someone trustworthy and responsible was needed, the priests were called on. Are you a faithful steward with money? Is this something you could relate to? I think it shows you why we have to be faithful stewards with what we've been given. Now, here's another aspect of the job description of priests which you may not have considered. Musician. 2 Chronicles 5, let's have a look at that. 2 Chronicles 5:11. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions, and the Levites who were the singers, all of those of Asaph and Heman and Jethron, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with the trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, that they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud. You know, wow, you know, chorales, music, orchestras in the temple of God, out in the community, talented priests organized and played music on major occasions. Many times we can see that through in the Old Testament. Quite a few things. Music is so moving and so powerful, and God loves it. You know, it's so important at times. If you, 1 Chronicles 9:33, it tells us it was so important that the singers were exempted from other duties. 1 Chronicles 9:33, these are the singers, head of the house, father's houses of the Levites, who were lodged in the chambers, and they were free from other duties, for they were employed in that work day and night. Wow. Do you love music? Is that a major part of your life? Could music be one of the roles of priests that you could specialize in the kingdom? Imagine how exciting that would be for some of you. There are so many other things that the Levitical priests were responsible for. It's a great study to look into it. The priest organized and performed the census when commanded by God. The priests were involved in blessing marriages. They also blessed people on new ventures. It was the priests that were sometimes sent out to rectify problems in the nation. The king sent them out. Go and sort things out. Priests were also major event organizers. They were responsible for organizing the holiday celebrations 3 times during the year. And these were major events that had to be put on, choosing the festival location, working out how it all went. And imagine the organization in the millennium when whole cities and nations are keeping God's feasts. That will take real managerial skills. And I'm sure some of you could well and truly relate to the role. Wow. When you look at all the aspects of the role of priest covered, an incredibly varied job description. You have to immediately know, wouldn't you, that such a person in such an influential position would be required to behave to a very high standard. And you'd be right. The position of priest was a reflection of God himself, and therefore the standards required were very high. They typified the firstborn, the one who would carry the family name. The priest was required to act with the highest integrity and impartiality, to judge with fairness and with righteousness. God even prescribed precise dress standards and standards of personal hygiene for the priests. They couldn't serve if they were sweaty. They weren't allowed to drink alcohol when serving. As he said, you cannot afford to not discern the holy from the unholy. No drinking when you're serving in the temple. And they had to be very careful with what they involved themselves in relation to the world around them. Why? Because they were holy. They were special. They were the elect. We even read that the priests had to be physically without defect. Now, this was not God picking on people who had problems. Serving in the temple was a type and a shadow of the incredible things to come. Things that we've been invited to be partake of. Serving in the temple. The future priests who would be part of God's own family ruling the nations with him. And these things really should be powerful motivators for us to be offered the role in the actual spiritual temple of God and to see and work with God face to face. It's an honor beyond compare to be able to come and go and serve in God's presence, and such a position will not be offered to those with obvious flaws and failures of character that just left go. You know, we should take note of the high standard required of a priest. We are priests, as 1 Peter says, we are priests in that way now, and we should smarten ourselves up accordingly. This calling is far greater than we imagine. We can't be like everyone else in the world. It's simply not acceptable. Just read the book of Malachi and see what God thinks of priests who get slack and go astray. These things should be a motivator for us to strive for perfection. We can't do it ourselves, we know that. But through God's grace, we can be clean and pure in his sight if we are humble and repentant and seeking to strive to live his way of life. So after covering all this, could we ever say that the role of priest was boring or undesirable? I don't want anything to do with that. Well, I think you'd have to be mentally dead if you thought that. The role of priest, in fact, was so diversified we would be hard-pressed to find any modern comparison. The job was varied, interesting, involved, working at the highest level and at the lowest level. A position of a leader, a warrior, a judge, overseeing major events, yet mixing with the people in a really hands-on way, commanding the respect of the nation. The best job description we could find today would be that of a prince. And that's exactly indeed what the role is best defined as. A prince ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. Brethren, if we can just grasp what's on offer here, it should make all of us, men, women, teenage, kids, just sit up and take notice. This is exciting. Partaking of the first resurrection is far, far more than just getting an extra jump of an extra 1,000 years of eternal life. It's an offering to the firstborn of an incredible, unique, and privileged role to serve God in a close and special way. It's something that will fulfill our wildest dreams. our wildest dreams. And if I could speak to the young people, you know, young people, this life offers some incredibly exciting opportunities today. Opportunities to study and be involved in fields that people years ago, again, could only dream about. Take the opportunities around us today. Grab hold of them. Put passion in your life's career today. But keep God foremost in your mind at all times, and everything you do, do it for his glory, because the positive things you learn in this life may be of enormous value. It may help define your role as a priest in the kingdom of God. You may just be laying the groundwork for your future. And all of us, you know, be encouraged. The future before us in the family of God is just incredibly exciting.